The Michigan legislature is considering several proposals to reform the use of force by police. Law enforcement unions and civil rights advocates are watching closely. And so, too, is a former Detroit police officer who rose to become chief of the department and then deputy mayor of the city. Ike McKinnon tells WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter he experienced firsthand police using excessive force beginning when he was a teenager in Detroit.
And I was leaving high school at Cass Tech, and I was grabbed by four large officers, and they threw me up against a car and the name calling, and they did a good job of beating me up. And so that was the first incident. Number two was in 67 during the rebellion. I was in uniform and I was on my way home. I was in my car, and as I drove up Chicago Boulevard, I was pulled over by these two officers. They told me to get out of the car, which I did. The one officer, I remember him so well, he made this racially derogatory comment and told me that I was going to die. He had his gun out. They both had their guns out. Like, time stood still, actually. I could see him pulling the trigger on his gun, and I dove back into my car, and they started shooting at me. Thank God they missed. Those were the two incidents that happened to me, which made me want to become a police officer and to make sure that I could stop those kinds of incidents from happening to anyone.
The situation with yourself as a black man during the upheaval in 67, that has a distinct racial component to it. And statistics show that black men have a much greater chance of being hurt during interactions with police than others. Do you think any of the provisions that's being considered by the state legislature would make an impact on that situation?
Well, I think so. I think that when you compel someone to make sure that they abide by the rules and regulations of a department, for instance, after the George Floyd situation, I remember there's these two officers who took this man down. And the one officer, he was handcuffing him. And the second officer came and he put his knee on that man's neck. And the first officer said, "What the hell are you doing? Get your knee off this man. I'm not going to be brought up on charges because of you." Those are the kinds of things that officers have to do instead of saying we're going to stand behind the blue wall or the blue code and not stop those kinds of things from occurring.
That's one of the changes that you've talked about, is requiring an officer to intervene if they see another officer using excessive force. It's one of the things that the legislature is looking at. How do you tell in the middle of a oftentimes chaotic police situation that it is using excessive force?
The last thing you want to do is go above and beyond. As a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve the community. Now, serving the community, using that excessive force or beating someone until they capitulate. No. And so what you try and do is make sure that you don't use the force that's above and beyond that is necessary to have someone handcuffed.
You mentioned there's kind of an unwritten rule that officers don't rat on each other. You know, even if this rule is adopted, how do you think you can get around that?
Number one, by the kind of people that you hire. And number two, to make sure that they are closely monitored. Now, you know, we have now people with cameras on them, and the cameras are being monitored, number one, by the officers, by the supervisors, to make sure that when these kinds of things occur, like what happened down in Memphis, when those kinds of things occur, that they are held and accountable, and to make sure that if there's something that they did that was thought of as wrong, then they suffer the consequences.
Another change that you say should be made concerns no-knock warrants. I would imagine those are used so they can catch the bad guy or girl by surprise. What's the problem with those, in your view?
When you go into someone's home and you have not announced or made sure that you know who is in that house, that leads to the kind of situation that occurred down in Kentucky. Someone kicks the door in. Someone's going to pull a gun. And someone's going to start shooting. We want to make sure that it's safe for everybody, whether it's the person in the home or the police officer. So there's nothing wrong with doing a total background into who's in the house, how many people are there, if someone is armed, and all those things. And then you'll make your announcement. If you have the place surrounded, if you have enough officers that's going to conduct this kind of raid, then you won't have those kinds of problems.
The third change that you've mentioned concerns so-called wandering police officers. What does that mean?
We have officers who they get into trouble with one police department, and they might be fired or know that they're going to be fired, and they leave there and go to another department. We just can't have that. I mean, I think Detroit is going through that situation now where a person was going to be or investigated, then something happened in Greektown, and that the officer has resigned and then moved to another community. Those kinds of things have to be closely monitored.
It's not obviously exactly the same situation, but convicted felons are supposed to get a second chance once they've paid their debt to society. Shouldn't that kind of thing hold true for police officers, too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Depending upon what they did. I mean, was it something like writing too many tickets or getting into a scuffle with someone? When I was in charge of a certain area of the Detroit Police Department, I looked into the records of officers and what they would do. It was so clear. They would only stop men of color, and they would do this every day. Would probably stop 10 or 15 men of color, and it was inevitable that they would get into some kind of tussle with these men of color, and then they would lock them up. And what we saw was there is a pattern that existed between these two officers in particular. Those are the kinds of things that we want to make sure that we monitor closely. We have enough problems with people disliking us because of their perception that police officers don't necessarily like them, and it's us versus them in these kinds of situations. So I think that everyone, that is police and the community, have to understand that these are things that will make a difference and will make things safer for everyone.